So this podcast is going to be about blended learning. First thing I want to say up front is that blended learning, the content, lets you move at your own pace. That's really important. Students need to have their pace. And when you can access the content anywhere, you get this new opportunity. And then we see that there's no frustration anymore of feeling that you understood something in class, but you couldn't apply it at home like it is in a traditional classroom. It's different with blended learning. Our students have work assignments to do in class. So because of that, it's totally flipped. It's totally the opposite of what we did before. We don't just expect them to absorb and then use it at home. They use it in class, and they can stop at home to check content. We learn best through active work and not passive listening. Having teachers available when applying knowledge is very important. It's a great advantage we have too. So we need our teachers to complement this content we deliver. We also understand with blended learning that students need more time. Some students are going to need more time. And some others are not. Some others are going to be a little bit faster on what they do. And the course embraces this difference. It's not like we're all at the same time moving forward, even though some people didn't get exactly the content. Some people are a little bit lost and the content keeps moving forward. No. If you didn't understand exactly what happened, you can do that module again and you will just stay in the same level for a while. That's one of the advantages for multi-level as well. And this is how we delivered blended learning. We can move at their pace, grammar-wise as well. We want to teach our students how to think instead of just delivering them textbooks so they can try to learn. And there's something funny about textbooks and PCs. You can't just give it to someone, give it in their hands and say, hey, learn. No, you gotta guide them. And this is how the teacher works. This is the part of the teacher's work. They prepare what they can at home. They do as much as they can at home. But it's the teacher's job to finish it up. This mixture is what makes our blended learning effective. One of the things while I was researching about blended learning is that there's no right way to do it. It's still a very new methodology. So nobody really know exactly what's the perfect way to use blended learning. Each institution has their way to use it. So that's really interesting. We can't expect also for our students to learn everything by themselves. It's not how it works. So having a teacher as a complement, like I said before, is of utmost importance. What should we do? I was thinking about this when I saw one of the videos from TED. What should we do if our student gets 100% of the exercises right and there's nothing to correct? This is something interesting that I heard. So you praise your student? No, you shouldn't praise that student. You should say something like, that was obviously easy for you. Sorry I wasted your time. Let me give you something more difficult so you can actually learn from it. That's really interesting. We have to try to challenge our higher level students and not only praise them when they do something that, well, it could have been difficult, but for them it's not difficult anymore. So what is also important is that we are going to rely a little bit more on the computer and on the book. And then one might wonder, but what is the teacher going to do then if the computer is already like giving a big portion of the answers? Well, the teacher has to do everything the computer can't, like answering the following questions. How can I motivate my students? How can I connect what they're doing in class and what they do in their lives? How can I create a hands-on project that's going to complement what they're doing online? And I think this question here is really interesting because we just produced a new project. We just have a new way of evaluating our students. And this is the bridge that maybe was missing before. to have a hands-on project that is going to complement the online part. And to finish, we also want our teachers to become critical thinkers and innovators. So they have to make decisions in class. Yeah, they have to direct their students' production. They have to decide which group presents first, who's ready, who's not. Those are all new things that you don't have in a traditional classroom where it's just a lecture. Yeah. And the last bit, the part of being an innovator, that's really important. Of course, we want to hear our teachers first. I also always tell them this at meetings. You gotta tell me first what you want to innovate, and I'll also talk to my superiors and see if it's possible, if it's related to the content. That's it for our podcast on blended learning styles. Thank you. Here's another podcast, and today I'm gonna talk about mobile structures in class and some strategies to solve this this matter that we have. Yeah, mobile structures is like if you think about it physically, it would be moving chairs or things like this in the class. I'm gonna focus a little bit more on moments in which students have to move around the class, and also according to the podcast we heard. About power and how students and the teacher should share power in class. Well, one of the first things I want to address in this podcast is that I was even talking to some of the guys about this. Going to the front of the class, that fear is a part of mobile structures, yeah? Because that's the moment when the power shifts in class. Now the student's going to present something to the whole class. And it's going to start to become interesting. And some students are reluctant because we had the traditional style of learning before. And it's always weird when you have to go to the front of the class. And I discovered that I had this problem when I was a student. I didn't want to go to the front of the class. So whenever my students said, "Hey, teacher, I really don't feel like going," I said, "Okay, no problem." That was my first answer to it. But as time went by, I realized that I myself had this problem, and then I got some tips like, "Hey, go to the front of the class with them, talk to them on the feedback how important it is." And then just last Saturday, I had this experience of a student that wasn't safe enough, wasn't feeling secure enough to go to the front of the class, asked me to go with her, and then I helped her. And then I took it upon myself to really aid her in that moment. By incorporating this speech of presenting and explaining and help students, we can always talk about this power shifting in class. It's not always when they come to the front of the class, but also when they have to explain something to their friends. Yeah, they may think that all their learning in class is like filling a bucket. Yeah, just getting the content done. But it's not. It's actually like lighting a fire, getting interested in what you're doing. Something interesting also that shows this relation of power is that sometimes the teacher uses the book as a weapon or his knowledge as a weapon. "Oh no, I know, so you can't say a lot about what I'm talking, because I'm the authority here." What I got from a video from TED was a very interesting line of thought. It was, there's no right answer. There's no wrong answer. There's just thinking. If your student can actually convince you that his wrong answer, because it's wrong based on the book, that his wrong answer could be right, why not take it in? Why not accept it? Of course, if it's a grammar structure that is going wrong, something like this, then you should really address that and, hey, it's never going to be okay. It's just going to look abnormal. It's just going to look weird. But if that it's a true and false exercise, for example, in class, and your student can get to convince you that maybe that answer from the book is not 100% accurate, there are other cases that are exceptions, why not take that in? Why not accept that? That would be really interesting to reshape some foundations that we think, "Oh, the book here has got all the answers," or "I know everything." Yeah, but also it's important to show your students, to give them this sense of, "Hey, I'm having a class and my teacher knows what he's doing." Not 100%, of course, we're humans, but it's like if you get an Uber and then you talk to the driver and the driver doesn't know exactly where he's going, you're going to say, what? But I'm paying you for this. So it's kind of like the same thing. You wanna know that your teacher has the idea of what he's doing, but it's always good to see the teacher also as a human being, as a person that sometimes makes some mistakes, sometimes is going to accept different answers from the book if his students can convince him. So this is really interesting. What else have we got here? What else can we talk about? Yeah, talking about the weapons. Another really interesting quote that I got from one of the videos that I watched was very interesting. Was if you want to find out what's in it for you, what you can get the most out of, don't ask yourself when deciding something what the world needs. Just ask what makes you come alive. This is really interesting. This makes us also reflect upon our decision, yeah, our job decision, why we selected this. And it's interesting to see that you have to ask yourself the right questions. And you have to ask your students and your teachers the right questions. By asking these questions, you may show them that you're sometimes as vulnerable as they are. You're just, of course, a source of help, a source of support. But at times, there will be this exchange of power in class. Yeah, and this is when students have to move around. They have to change groups. They have to go to the front of the class. And everything changes. All these relations of power, they change over time. And if this is not happening exactly in your class, then you may have a problem. You may think everything's okay, but you're actually just dictating what's going to happen. And this is something we should always avoid. That's it for me. I'm signing out. Have a good one.